thanking everyone who came out today to be a part of this. This is something that means a lot to me, and I want to speak about it. My name is Margaret Tillotson. I'm 18 years old, and I'm a senior at Burlington Community High School. Today, I come forward because I'm determined to make a difference in our community. I've grown up going to school in the Burlington Community School District system since kindergarten, as did my three older siblings. Retrospectively, I can always remember feeling very safe in school. I never feared walking through the doors of Course Elementary or playing on the playground with my friends at recess, which at the time wasn't surrounded by the fences that are in place today. However, on December 14th of 2012, the Connecticut school shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School happened. I was a seventh grader at Edward Stone Middle School. I woke up thinking it was going to be an average day. However, it was early in the afternoon at my English class that rumors began to surface about a shooting. What? Why? I was more confused than worried, and I couldn't wrap my mind around the fact that someone had the audacity to walk into an elementary school that morning, deliberately planning on taking innocent lives. After a long conversation with my mother about this tragic event, I learned that it had not been the first time that something like this occurred, nor would it be the last. That was the day that manipulated my perception about the world that we live in, and I will never forget it. I realized I was living in an even scarier world than I had ever imagined. My own middle school wasn't safe anymore. I didn't even feel safe in my own middle school. My mother had no explanation for me. To this day, my mother still doesn't have an answer to me as to why people commit such insidious acts. Earlier this week, she told me, "Every day I send you off to school, kiss you goodbye, telling you to have a good day. But at the same time, I'm silently praying that you are kept out of harm's way, and I'm trusting the administration to keep you safe." Following the tragic event of Sandy Hook, as tensions lessened, teachers began to speak about ALICE protocol that we would be implementing. The first time we ever had an ALICE drill, I recall being more confused than anything. Nobody had a whole lot of information on it, other than if you were shot by a fake person pretending to be a shooter, to sit down where you were, and if not, to follow your classroom out of the building. Earlier this week, I asked a teacher of mine what we would do in his classroom if there was an active shooter in the building. He looked at me and said, "I had one day of ALICE training over the summer, but if I had 65 kids look at me for guidance in this situation, I don't know what I'd do." I know my classmates are aware of what ALICE is, but earlier this week, I spoke to a fellow peer of mine, and I posed the question, "Do you know what ALICE training is?" They responded by saying, "It's what you do if there's a school shooter." Then I followed up with my question, "What's something that you do?" The response I got was, "Honestly, I don't know. I remember having an ALICE drill in middle school, but it was kind of just like a fire drill. We walked out of school onto the property outside and went back inside the building a few minutes later after attendance was taken." To me, hearing that they had not been properly prepared was unbelievably unacceptable. I know there are more ways for everyone to be capable of handling an unfortunate circumstance, such as an active school shooter in the building, and be prepared at an appropriate age. So who decides to bring ALICE trainers to our school? Who do we have to talk to say, "Hey, this is an issue in our community. We need to make a proactive decision now to ensure the safety of our kids in this community"? This is a vital issue that more and more communities are facing, including our own. I might be a senior in high school who graduates in less than 4 months. I might not ever have to step foot into a Burlington school ever again if I don't want to. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to bring attention to these issues. I'm tired of hearing about these horrible tragedies. I'm tired of people talking about worrying about going to school just to survive a 7-hour school day. This week, I've had multiple people approach me asking what to do if there was a school shooter actually in our building, and I had no answer for them. I didn't know if this was going to draw the attention of one person or 100 people, but I'm here to put myself in a vulnerable position because I'm tired of being quiet. Those who grew up with me know I'm not a very outspoken person, especially in front of groups of people. I've always been a follower. I let someone else answer the question in history. I let other people read aloud in English. I volunteered to go last presenting a science project, and I certainly will not go up to the chalkboard alone to answer that math question. I used to be too shy to speak a word. I wouldn't want to drift far from my mother's side. I don't like bringing attention upon myself, but this time I did, and it looks like I'm the center of it. Along with advocating for Alice, the second crucial topic that needs attention is availability of mental health resources in our school and community. If we had more resources available to those who need it, maybe the school shooting rates would begin to decrease. The question is, what can we do to change that? How can we bring attention back to mental health resources? How can we stress that this is a rising issue among many individuals that has to change for the better now? We can't keep ignoring this and letting negative stigma dictate the decisions being made, and we need to start providing these resources. We need to give those opportunities back, not only to the schools, but the community as well. At BHS, we have 3 guidance counselors and 1 licensed mental health counselor who has provided services for over 160 students this year. On a weekly average, she sees about 7 individuals every day. This counselor provides social emotional counseling, crisis intervention as needed, individual counseling, homebound services, and more. This outstanding woman goes above and beyond every single day to ensure the students at BHS are doing their best, and that's not easy. I personally have gone to her when I am in need, and she never fails to make time for me. But that's not always easy. Not every kid can see her. Why can't we provide similar resources to ensure everyone has a fair opportunity? Not only in our local schools, but in the community as well. Earlier this week, I learned that in Iowa, if a person is in need of resources provided by a mental health facility, and there is no room at that facility, that person gets turned away and sent back home. How sad is that? When I heard that for the first time, I was completely floored. How can we keep living like this? Why do we keep brushing it under the carpet? What can we do to change this? Why can't we find mental health again? How can we end this stigma? When the fake aid begins to strip away, we truly see the importance of having adequate mental health resources available. How can we make a change for that today? At the end of the day, everyone here is all fighting to end a massive problem. Whatever that solution may be, we are all here to show we are united for one cause, and that is for no more school violence. Whether that comes from speaking about training in our schools to better prepare for facing violent acts, funding mental health resources, providing more individuals with firearms to defend with, or even adapting laws to help prevent weapons from ending up in the hands of those with malicious intent. I want to reiterate that this is peaceful and a passive group that we have got together today, and to not be upset because someone has a different opinion than yours. There's not just one solution to this issue of violence in our school. Instead, we need to be thankful because it's a reminder that we all live in America, a free country, and we can speak on all of our beliefs. This morning I attended a rosary service at Notre Dame School on gun violence. An hour later, I walked out of my class. And now I'm speaking on where I stand personally. No matter where you come from, no matter what point of view you have, we all have the same goal in mind, and that is to end gun violence. We may be a small town, but we have a big voice. We have to start somewhere. Why shouldn't we start here? Why shouldn't we start now? At this time, I'd like to open the mic up to everyone else who'd like to speak today. And that's all I have to say for now. Thank you. Woo!